Open to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. From the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born again after grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. One is born of the flesh is flesh. Was born of the Spirit of Spirit. Do not be astonished at what I said to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things? Very truly we speak of what we know and testify to what I have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things, you would not believe them. How can you believe I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except for one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lived out the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I must confess, what I read to you is a little bit of a mashup between this translation and the King James Version I grew up with, because that's what's recorded in my head. Now, this morning, we'll look at this conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And you notice Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he had questions. And Jesus did not insult Nicodemus. He took the time to sit with him one-on-one to answer those questions. And so we start off saying there's a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews. Now, one of the misconceptions that we have is that usually the people think that every Pharisee was mad at Jesus and didn't like him. But the fact is, when you actually sit down and read the gospel accounts themselves, you find it's a little more complex than that. Jesus a lot of times got invited to eat with the Pharisees. Now, he might get into an argument with them at the dinner table, but they invite him to eat with them. In fact, in one section of Luke's gospel, right before Holy Week, they go to Jesus and they said, You need to leave Galilee, get out of town, flee, because Herod Antipas is wanting to kill you. And you may recall Herod Antipas was a ruler who had beheaded John the Baptist. And Jesus said, You go tell that old fox that 3 days I walk, and I cast out devils, and heal the lame, and raise the dead. And then I must make my way to Jerusalem. For it would be wrong for a prophet to perish anywhere but in Jerusalem. And then, of course, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent in my name. How often have I gathered your children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks, and you would not? And so you see, Jesus really had that complicated relationship with Pharisees. Now, with the Sadducees, they didn't like Jesus at all. And the difference between a Pharisee and the Sadducee, is, as I've noticed, mentioned before, is Pharisees believe in the entire, what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Scripture canon. They also believe in angels and demons. They also believe in life after death, the resurrection. Sadducees believe only in the five books of Moses, for the most part. They did not think very much of angels and demons. They thought it was a new ideal. And they kind of scoff at the ideal of a resurrection. Okay? And so he made a difference by thinking Pharisees did not believe in a life after death. And that's why they were sad, you see, Sadducees. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection, okay? And you may recall when the Apostle Paul one time was on trial in the Sanhedrin, the great Jewish legal council, he looked around, saw Pharisees and Sadducees, and he turned to the Pharisees and said, "My brothers, I'm on trial because I'm a good Pharisee. I believe in resurrection." And they got riled up and said, "What's wrong with that?" And they got into a fist fight with the Sadducees, okay? So Nicodemus has a lot in common with Jesus. They both believe in the entire Jewish canon. They believe in life after death, the resurrection. They believe in the angels and demons. And Nicodemus is a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. We know that he also has a buddy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, who will come up later in the story. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Okay, and people make fun of this, but you know, Nicodemus asked some questions, he won't get interrupted. That's how I look at it. So he thought, "Well, Jesus isn't busy at nighttime. I'll go talk to him then." And he says, "Rabbi, no teacher, we." Okay, that's a pronoun, right? Now, Mary English class, the pronoun "we," is that singular or plural? Plural, thank you. All right. My first grade teacher knew that. I'm glad. All right. Kindergarten teacher. All right, plural. "We know." What do you mean, "we know"? Well, again, that shows there was a pocket of Pharisees who's like, "We need to find out who this Jesus guy is. There's something going on with him. We know that you are a teacher who's come from God." Well, how do you know that? "For no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." One of the great myths, legends, that's never out lies people have about the Christian faith is that it is a blind faith, a blind trust. But all throughout John's gospel, though, Jesus tells his critics, "If you don't believe me, believe my signs, because the signs I perform are pointing you to who I really am." Okay? And so Nicodemus and his buddies think, "We know. There's no way this guy can do these great acts of mercy and compassion, of healing, unless God was with him." And so they got together one night, and they said, "Do names out of the hat, and Nicodemus, you're it. Nicodemus, go talk to him and ask him about this kingdom of heaven. How do we get in? You know, how do I get the kingdom of heaven?" And so Nicodemus is kind of flattering Jesus, and he said, "The rabbi, we know you're a teacher. We know God's with you because of the great miracles you perform." And then Jesus does that Jesus thing where he answers the question without actually hearing the question. "Very, verily, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven." Yes, I was going to ask you about that kingdom of heaven stuff. Now, "verily, verily, verily" comes from the Latin word, "no, verify," truth. "Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again." And depending on what translation you read, you might say "born again," might say "born above." The reason is, in the Greek, that word can go both ways. And so it's a play on words. And so Nicodemus, when he hears this, he gets thrown off a little bit and says, "Born again? What do you mean born again? You know, I'm an old man. How can I be born again? You know, I can't go back to my mother's womb and have a redo. You know, you get born once. You only get one birthday. Now, grandma nephew thinks he's supposed to have two or three, but you're going to get one." And then Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, the second part is pretty easy to figure out. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, just as you had a physical birth, you need to have a spiritual birth. And talking about the water, the spirit, and there's different takes on that. Some people think water, spirit means like when you're in your mom's womb and her water breaks, you get born physically, and then later on you get saved, you get born spiritually. Other folks, you know, when you read the Gospels, knows how that when people get saved, they're getting baptized, water, and they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, soon afterwards. Okay? And I don't think you can go wrong with either takes on that, because there's a truth to both of those. And I think it's where God's word can be applied in so many ways. But the point is, just as you have a physical birth, you must also have a spiritual birth. And Jesus said, "Do not be astonished when I said to you, you must be born again." Well, Jesus, how can I be born again? You know, what must I do? Jesus says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, you think about the wind, you can't see the wind, can you? You can feel the effects of it. For example, if I go outside and my necktie is flopping around, you know, the wind's blowing. And my hair is all every which direction, the wind's blowing. And I remember one time at the Calhoun City Hall, when the ladies came in, she was doing yard maintenance on our meadowlands, and it was summertime, and she came in, and she was drinking water, and she was soaking hot, and she said, "Gosh," I said, "it's awful being that riding lawnmower out there riding around. It's so hot." And I said, "Well, the answer, my friend, is mowing in the wind." Okay? All my Bob Bivens friends get that. You know, when that wind blows, you can't see it, but you can hear it, and you can feel it, you can sense it. So it is with the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit, and you can't make him come or go, but yet you feel his act upon your heart. And then Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can this be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you not a teacher of Israel, and yet you not understand these things?" And I think Jesus is, you know, being playful here with him. You know, "Nicodemus, now I thought you were a teacher. Don't you know what I'm talking about?" Now, why would Nicodemus know at least something about this? Well, I know this is going to come with great shock, folks, but Jesus was Jewish. And just about everything he ever says, you can go back to the Jewish scripture, Old Testament, and find at least a reference to it. Because as he said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." Now, the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36 is talking to the people of Israel, and they are scattered about in Babylon because of their wickedness and sinfulness. But listen to this promise, verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes." So in here the Lord comes down hard on his people and says, "You all are giving me a bad reputation, because all these pagan nations look at you and think, well, their God can't do anything, that's why they're over here with us." And so he says, "Not because you deserve it, but because of my grace, I will, through you, let the world know my holiness by bringing you back home." Verse 24, "I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land." Okay, well, that makes sense enough. Everybody will come have a homecoming, Jewish homecoming, come back to Israel. But listen to this, verse 25. "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and make you follow my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live the land I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. You see, the Lord made a promise to Ezekiel, to his people, the day would come when he would take water and wash away the filth of their sins. Now, in the Jewish culture, water was a symbol of God's holiness and cleanness. He says, then I'll give you a new heart, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. I'll give you a new spirit, and I would breathe my spirit within you. I will write my laws on your hearts, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Now, a little while ago, we did a psalm that says, no, Lord, give me a new heart. That's what Jesus is referring to, is that we don't need a pastor job. We need a new heart. We don't need a new patch here and patch here and patch there, but we need to be born again. We got to need a redo. And then he says, verily I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things, you do not believe them. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one is into heaven except for the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. In other words, Jesus is special. He's the only person from heaven who's come down to earth. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Again, Jesus is referring to the Jewish Old Testament, Jewish scriptures. In the book of Numbers, you recall that story about where the people were complaining to Moses, and the Lord in his anger sent venomous snakes into the camp, right? And everyone who'd been complaining got bit by a venomous snake. That'd be like you came to church this morning, you sat down, and over to your right was a big old copperhead, and to your left was a big old rattlesnake. But they wouldn't bite you, though, unless you've been complaining this past week. Now, how long would you last? Some folks are like, I wouldn't last very long, Pastor. So the people are getting sick, they're dying, they go to Moses. Moses goes, Lord, they're sorry. What can we do to make this better? And the Lord gives Moses the craziest command. Moses, make a serpent out of bronze and sit up on a pole and set it up for folks and see it. And when they come by and look up at that serpent, they'll be healed from their snake bites. Hold on, Lord. You want me to make a snake? As though the folks being bit by the snake can look at that snake and get healed of their snake bites? Yes. Why was he doing that? Well, see, my friends, that was a foreshadowment of what Jesus was doing. You know, on our cross, we have a flame. But just imagine we had a bronze snake up there. You look up that bronze snake, and you've been healed of your snake bite. In the same way, as Peter says, Jesus, even though he knew no sin, he became sin. Why? To take away our sin. That's where that comes from. So you see how it all ties in so beautifully with Ezekiel and Moses. And then we get verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, everlasting life isn't something that happens when you die and get buried out here in the back of the church. Everlasting life begins here and now when the person puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't have to fear death because we know we have eternal life. Why? Because we put our faith in Jesus. We believe in him. What caused God to send Jesus into this world? The thing that Clint talked about last Sunday. L-O-V-E, love. For God so loved the world. And then listen to verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, the Son, might be saved. You see, Jesus came on a rescue mission. You know, we watch those movies and they come in and trying to rescue the hostages or such. That's a rescue mission. Jesus came to this world as a rescue mission. He saw a world lost in sin, trapped by Satan, and he came in to rescue us. He did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every Sunday morning, when somebody hears the gospel for the first time, there's an opportunity to them that they might be saved. Or they turn on the radio and they hear that radio preacher. That's an opportunity for them that might be saved. Or they're at home one night and they're depressed and they're listening on YouTube and a sermon comes on. That's an opportunity for them that might be saved. Jesus came to this world into a rescue mission to rescue many people as he can from the clutches of sin and Satan. Now, what about us this morning? No. Earlier, we sang a song about Lead the Valley, I Found a Friend Jesus. We sung about nothing but the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. And here in a little bit, have a hymn invitation, Since Jesus Came to My Heart. My prayer is that one, that every one of us will have been born again. Not only do we have a physical birth that's on our birth certificate, but somewhere in our past, we had a spiritual birth, a rebirth, born again. A time we made a decision to follow Christ. The Holy Spirit came within us, and we began walking his ways. And then secondly, that we're not shy about sharing that with our folks. We got a lot of sad folks in this world, lots of lonely folks, angry folks, depressed folks, bitter folks, you name it, we got it. There has never been a time in human history when people needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. To hear the words, God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send Jesus to condemn you, but he came here to save you. What a great blessing you can share with someone this year. Let them know, God loved you so much, he sent Jesus to save you. No. Everybody in this planet, boy, girl, young, old, male, female, black and white, and any curve between, needs to hear that message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And everybody needs to hear, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.